Welcome to episode 308 of Fly Away. Here at Outlander Travel, we're passionate about, well, travel. Throughout the years, we've seen many changes to the industry, but one thing has stayed the same, is the urge to explore our world and make the connections that only can be made through experience. My name is Donna, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy, Lindsay, and George. J.R.R. Tolkien said, "Shortcuts make long delays," in the Fellowship of the Ring book. Nothing could be more true about travel. If you and your travel advisor plan the perfect trip from the right airline to the best hotel with a once-in-a-lifetime excursion, by taking the time to plan everything with a little bit of wiggle room, most of the time it turns out exactly the way it should. Then again, it doesn't always turn out exceptional. By choosing that hotel on your own that was much further out of the city and having to commute in every day, you miss that long-awaited excursion. This is where your friendly neighborhood travel agent can help you alleviate some of those issues and explain the reasoning why you want to choose one thing over another. It's no secret that we all love traveling, and because we travel extensively, we can share some of our life lessons that we have learned along the way. So let's get started. So, George, we're going to start with you. What have you learned in all your extensive travels?
Body insurance.
That's a good one.
Amen.
Yeah.
Because if this year wasn't the poster boy for needing trip insurance, I'm not sure what would be.
I think some people, though, got a little surprised that things were excluded that they didn't realize because they didn't read their policy.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I don't think they can cover every single thing at all times. There has to be something. Just like your homeowners doesn't cover every single thing. But
you have to have flood insurance to cover a flood.
Yeah. Right.
But if you get canceled for any reason, there's no reason why you can't cancel because you had a hangnail that day.
That's true.
Yeah.
Not all insurance policies are created equal.
That's true.
But those extra riders actually do cost a pretty penny. So going into it, you need to know the details of why you want to choose that. And that's where your travel advisor can kind of come in.
You want to choose a company that's going to be responsive to you. And no one has their finger on the pulse of who's been responsive in time of need better than your travel advisor right now.
So, George, in all of your actual traveling, did you learn anything about a particular culture or an area that surprised you?
No. 'Cause most of my travel is not, I am not a off the beaten path, need to go hang out with the locals in the bush. I want to go to the resort and drink drinkies with umbrellas and sit on the beach. So, no.
What about your Adventures by Disney, though? Because that was a really in-depth kind of travel experience for you. You know, you learned a lot on that one.
Yeah, but it was California.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, but I mean, you know, it doesn't have to be like, I learned about this other culture. It could be like, I learned this about history of this. And I
was, life lessons according to Walt Disney.
I mean, this was interesting to me because I never knew that blah, blah, blah.
Oh, there were tons. There were so many things that we didn't know about Walt or the company or some of the interesting stuff was when we went to the Jim Henson Museum. Because, I mean, I like the Muppets, but I wouldn't say I knew much about Jim Henson or the company or anything like that. So, yeah, that was all interesting. It's probably the only vacation. Okay, let me rephrase that. It was the most expensive vacation that I ever took that I would definitely do again in a heartbeat if they changed it just a little bit.
Yeah, to get a little bit new stuff.
Yep, just so it's not completely the same. The one thing we really wanted to do that they didn't was Walt's Barn and ride the trains. And it's only open one Sunday a month and it didn't happen to fall on the week we were there. But if they added that, we'd probably go back again. Yep. Yeah.
So that made a difference. I mean, that like did something to you.
Yeah, it did. Yep. It left a mark.
That's cool.
Well, very cool. And now I'll share with mine because I'm next up on the list. One of the big things I've learned a couple of life lessons. Number one, first of all, like George, I don't leave the country without insurance because there have been way too many times that the airlines have misplaced my bags.
You need those new clothes.
That's right. So when I travel, I always carry at least 24 hours worth of needs with me on my person, just in case. And I also, it was very interesting going to Bali, because I had studied world religion in high school years and years and years and years ago. And when you actually get immersed in a true Hindu culture, it really touches your soul. And it makes you feel like, wow, this actually now makes a lot more sense, and it actually falls into place. And what was great is we got a guide that was very, very open about everything in his life, in his culture, in his family, everything. And it's really interesting to find where we have the nuclear family in the United States, where, you know, mom and dad's in one area, grandmas and grandpas are in another state, you've got aunts and uncles. In Bali, they all live in the same house. And of course, for Lindsay and I, we were sitting there going, how would we ever do this?
But it was so, I agree with you, Donna, it was so cool to see, and to see Hinduism in practice, and in practical practice too, like the traffic blew me away. How polite, and the traffic was just coming from everywhere. There should be more car accidents, there should be more angry people, but there weren't. Mm-hmm. There was no road rage. There was no, it was the most eye-opening, inspirational, moment, I think, of that trip for me was watching how they dealt with the traffic, where it was so great.
Would describe the traffic again?
So I've been in Turkey and Egypt and Greece and Rome and all these places in the world where traffic is insane. Right. Yeah. And there's just cars coming from everywhere. And you get to the point in some countries where like street signs are just suggestions. They're just, this might have been the way to go at one point in time, but now just do whatever you want. And everybody's donkeys out in the road. And there's a motorbike with eight people on it going this way. And there's somebody crossing the road this way. And, you know, cars do there's no rules. No rules. It's like Thunderdome. So, but Bali was a little like that, right? Only everyone was extremely polite. They let you in. And I live in the Pacific Northwest, where people will cut you before they'll let you in. They will get out of their car and shoot you before they let you. No, I'm not letting you in. There's no, like, these people were polite, and it was like this well-choreographed ballet of just cars going in and bikes going over, and nobody was mean or honking the horn or yelling, or it was just from seeing the rest of the world.
And it was the same on the street as a pedestrian as well.
Yeah, it was.
You know, you wanted to cross the street, and of course, you know, you're waiting for a break in traffic to cross the street, and you know, somebody'd stand out there and actually be like, just somebody off the street would come and basically hold traffic for you so that you could cross the street.
Just open kindness, just overflowing open kindness and patience for strangers who you have no ties to. It was such a beautiful thing to see. Wow. And you know, it's very inspiring to me to be more patient. That trip, I think I learned a lot about the things I would like to change about myself and about kind of how I live my personal life.
And what's great is that when you go to some international country and you see something that really works extremely well, whether it be, you know, stoplights or crossing guards or, you know, construction, you're like, why aren't we doing this? And then there's things that are in the United States that you get over there and it's like, why are they doing it that way? That just makes no sense. It's like, if we could have a think tank with all the important people all in the same room going, yeah, let's do this and this and this from, you know, Europe. And then we're going to do this and this and this from the United States. And we're going to do this and this and this from Japan and pull it all together. And it's almost like a best practices. If we could do that.
That would be amazing. But if we could learn, if we would be open enough to learn from other cultures, I think is the key.
Exactly. So, Lindsay, what have you got?
Oh my gosh!
Of life lessons.
So, I have so many. I have like 8, but I don't want to hog all of them. So I'll leave some for. But so the one that's probably the top of my mind is. Travel has taught me not to take anything for granted. The only trips in my life that I've regretted are the ones that unfortunately I couldn't take this year. Like I've never, you know, all the times I've had to scrimp or save or make sacrifices to do something and make it a priority, I've never regretted any of the experiences that I've had or any of the people that I've met or things that, but in the journey along the way of the mistakes and the, like having an extra long layover, getting stuck somewhere for a few extra days. And those are all, I think they're all gifts. They're all, it's just a new opportunity to explore something you wouldn't have seen otherwise. The place you wanted to see is closed. Well, there's this other place, this other experience that you wouldn't have had if what you had intended to do that day had been open. If there hadn't have been a strike, if there hadn't have been a picket, you wouldn't have never seen this out of the way museum or this other thing. Or, you know, if I hadn't taken that one turn down a side street and wandered into the old butcher shop that was a wood carver's spot in Sligo, Ireland, and met the most amazing man who told me all of these incredible folklore stories from Celtic folklore and carved wood. You know, that's one of the most incredible travel experiences of my life, and it only happened on accident because I got lost.
And, so, and it's your attitude about those things. It really, a lot of it comes down to attitude.
So I don't take anything for granted. The magic is in the journey itself, and I'm extremely grateful for, you know, there's something to be said about not being overplanned and overscheduled. And when I first started traveling, I was an overscheduler. I took my husband to Disney with a 3-ring binder that looked like a college course. And we had, he joked, he was the one that was in the military, but I was the sergeant on that trip. We were up at 3 a.m. and we were to the park closed. And I had every minute of the day scheduled out. And I don't travel like that anymore. I think you rob yourself of joy for me personally, when I overschedule or minimize those opportunities to have the authentic experiences. It really takes something out of it. I like the resort and having the drinky poos like George, but I also want to meet that person and hear their life story. And I want to be inspired to change my life. And I want to feel like someone has touched my heart when I travel.
I'm so glad you said that because I wouldn't travel with you anymore if you were like that.
That was probably the first and the most important lesson I learned. Do not overplan. It's fun to plan. You get, the psychologist will tell you all day long, the joy of your trip is in the planning. And that's why a lot of people, I never use a travel advisor because I want to plan it all myself. Well, it's nice to have someone check your work. You know,
and sometimes people do professional plan things that aren't going to work, you know,
yeah,
and you're like,
you might think you have, you want to go. You might think you want to go from the crack of before dawn to the parks close in the summertime in Disney, but I can tell you, you don't want to do that. You know? And here's A to 100 why you don't want to do that and why your family doesn't want you to do that either. But that's the thing is you have to, you know, having people who have made those mistakes, and that's what we are. For all the experts there are, it's just somebody who's made a lot of mistakes before you. I mean, I've been lost. I have, you know, Donna's lost her luggage a million times. Like we've been in every, I think between all of us, we've probably been in every travel situation you can think of and had to get our way out of it. I mean, I remember standing in Cuba laughing hysterically because I somehow lost my tour group I was with. My cell phone was a paperweight, and I did not have a street map, and I do not speak Spanish. And I couldn't see the water or the port where I was. So I was completely, completely lost. So,
and yet here you are.
And yet here I am. I'll still laugh about that for the rest of my life. Once I realized that here I was and how inconsequential I was in the universe. But
yeah, I had one of those moments.
So Sandy, tell us about your moment.
So I have a couple, but I used to do what Lindsay did and really overschedule our trips. And I think Disney is kind of like the quintessential that is easy to do because you feel like you have to do everything there. And we definitely have, it's definitely a privilege that we have been able to go so many times that we don't have to worry about it anymore. Cause if you miss something, we know we'll be back. And I know everybody doesn't have that luxury. So I get that, but I do think when you, take a step back and just relax a little bit and don't overschedule, that it does make your trip a lot better. But I also think there's something to be said for planning a lot because, you know, I mean, like this summer our trip was to go to Asheville. We rented a house and we let the kids bring friends and we were all very like COVID, aware. And, you know, this was just the 2020 vacation was renting a house out in the middle of nowhere, but we wanted to do things like whitewater rafting and, you know, do a Segway tour in Asheville and go to the Biltmore. And, you know, so we had stuff planned almost every day, but if we hadn't, those kids would have killed me. So we kind of, you know, I mean, we didn't overplan it to where every day was like up at dawn or whatever. I mean, we were pretty chill about what we did, but we did have one thing every day that we could go and do something, and that kind of kept them all off my back a little bit. but one of the things, Donna, that you were talking about when you were in Bali and how kind of spiritual it was, that I had an experience like that in Cuba, going back to like what Lindsay was saying, but my friend and I did a tour, and part of the tour went to the cemetery, and she, you know, the tour guide told us about, you know, different things about the cemetery, but she took us to this one kind of shrine about, that was this saint that everybody came and would say a prayer to and ask her. There was a whole good story behind it. It was really cool. We talked about it on our other podcast, but basically people believe that if you went and gave her a tribute and prayed to her in a certain way, you had to like knock on the, there was like a handle that you would clang against the side, and you had to walk up to her and walk around it, and you would walk back, but you would never turn your back to her, so you were walking backwards, and this whole prayer that came with it. And, you know, people had like a couple more cemetery plots were just full of things that people brought back, because if they, you know, they came and prayed to her because they needed somewhere to live, they would bring like a little statue of a house because they got their house and they believed that she helped do that. And our tour guide, after she explained this to us, she said, okay, now I need to say my prayer. And so, you know, we watched her do it, and she was completely, you know, I mean, it was a really cool experience. And I grew up Catholic, and Cuba is not really Catholic, but they have kind of a mishmash of different elements of religions. And so it was kind of cool, you know, to see how this communist country that wasn't supposed to be religious had pulled in that spirituality anyway, you know. That was a really cool experience.
We did a tour when we were there and went to see this really cool mix up of Santeria and something else, and in like an artist commune area in Cuba. And they were out there dancing, and the artwork was incredible, and it was very kind of out there in your face artwork about God, and it was really neat.
Cuba was a special place. I'm really glad I got to go, and I hope it opens up again.
Yeah, and the music was incredible. I mean, I was blown away by how like 70% of the population there plays an instrument. Mm-hmm. Or sings, or, you know, has some type of talent, where it's such a it's such an incredible thing, and you could be on any rooftop anywhere and hear music coming from the streets, and it was this awesome sound. And we got to go listen to the, we went to the old fort and heard that one of the women's choirs practicing in one of the old buildings where the echo, I think I posted that video, and it was such like this amazing like chills on the back of your neck sound.
That makes me think of another idea or another experience was whenever my daughter did the that music festival, the choral music festival in London over New Year's Eve this past year. That was an amazing, life-changing experience for those kids. I mean, I don't think there's one of them that came away that wasn't touched by going there and singing in those churches and cathedrals that were, you know, thousands of years old. I mean, one of them was the church that Shakespeare worshiped in. I mean, it was incredible.
It is amazing when you can actually, I'm an art major, so yeah. I studied art history forwards and backwards and inside out, and to actually stand in those cathedrals and see the art that I'd been studying all through college, to actually see it in person, to see the scale, because, you know, you look at an art book and the picture is a 5x7, mm-hmm. and then you look at it and you realize that it's the size of my wall.
Yeah.
Really makes a huge difference in your perception.
And the emotion that it conveys when you're looking at it in person is very powerful. I mean, something can look beautiful flat on paper in a reproduction, but I think it's, you can correct me, I think it's Bernini, the sculptor.
Does it along the, right in front of the Castel Sant'Angelo.
Yeah, when I went and saw his, the Rape of Persephone statue, where the fingers are in the marble and it looks like flesh, like it's the indentation of where if you were grabbing someone's flesh with your hand, and it's so realistic looking and such, and I was just right there, like my face was less than a foot away from this sculpture, and to see that is, there are really no words to describe that. I was not an art major, but to be so inspired by and so moved, I was never expecting to have those emotions. And when you travel and you just see it, I think we do it all backwards for kids. I think kids should get that great Europe art experience before they get to college. I think
that's a gap year.
so then you appreciate your Greek mythology class. Like, I kind of did it backwards. I started traveling before I took Greek mythology in college. And so then I was going, there was like, I've been there, saw that. That's,
you know, yeah, but then you get your children saying, yeah, do we have to see another Klimt?
Or like Elizabeth's story of like, this is a pile of rocks.
Yeah, this is a pile of rocks. Although, to be fair, my husband had the same reaction as an adult going through our ruined tour of the world, because everywhere from Pompeii to everywhere we went, everything was destroyed. The library in Alexandria.
Like, yes. We're just looking, you can at do that in Disney at
Epcot. It's fun, but it's not the same.
Well, my son Fox would go and do all the Greek mythology stuff, because he took 4 semesters of Latin in high school. That was his favorite class and his favorite professor. So hopefully we'll do that one day for him.
Sandy, how was that for you on your UK trip? Because that, you kind of touched on, without saying it, touched on one of the points that I had about being more present when you travel. Because mm-hmm. that trip for you, you weren't really allowed to schedule too much stuff to do, because you were there for an event. You were there to see your daughter perform, and to really experience that and to take time and to enjoy that experience.
Well, they actually scheduled us a lot. I mean, we had a lot of stuff going on the whole time, but I'm glad we did, because we saw so much. And when you're with teenagers, I think it's really good to keep them busy. And so, we saw such a huge amount of stuff when we were there. But, you know, one of the coolest things was one of our downtimes. We did the Evensong at Westminster Abbey. and you weren't allowed to take pictures inside, and you weren't allowed to kind of veer off the path. You were there for that, that I want to say ceremony, but basically it was like a mass. And that's the only way you can get in there without paying. And so, and the queues were really long because it was New Year's Eve and stuff. So, but the fact that all those kids went to church, you know, to like see this cathedral singing was, I mean, you know, come on, that was a very cool experience. So I think it was up there with the London Eye for them. You know,
I think that's really awesome. And it's probably something you would have had a hard time getting your kids to do had you not been there.
Yeah, I don't think I would have gotten the whole family into that, you know. And I kind of wish we could have done St. Paul's, but I had hurt my knee and I just couldn't do like the 500 and something steps, you know. But yeah, so we'll go back. But yeah, but the singing and the choral music and the, you know, singing in those cathedrals was just, yeah, it was very cool.
Well, that is actually our show for this week. So we want to thank you for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. So on behalf of Sandy, George, Lindsay, and myself, Donna, thank you for joining us three this week. Eat the food, drink the wine, and gotta fly.